This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Morning. How are we?
Good morning.
Good fresh week.
Good morning.
I'm good. Look, got a little wet as we were getting close to the studios here in La Jolla, but
a little bit of moisture.
You said it was clear where you live, right, David?
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty clear out in Scripps Ranch, too. I mean, there was no moisture on the ground at
there
all.
There were stars in the sky, but no moon. I did not see a moon. I will not tell you I saw a moon. I don't know if it's up there or not.
I had read yesterday that there was an 18% chance of showers today, or as my dad would say, an 82% chance of none.
But it actually rained as we approached the building here. So.
Yes, it did.
So, at the end of the day, if nobody else gets rain, it did happen. The forecast was fulfilled. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, because maybe I slept through it, but I don't think we got the storm that they were predicting.
Not last night, but the night before last.
Did 24 robbers come knocking at your door?
No, but I woke up around 2 o'clock. Or it was pouring. It was raining pretty hard at my house, which... Yeah, I thought we were already kind of past it, but
David, you said an inch, up to an inch.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. How much did we actually get out of this storm?
It varied across the county, but it was a significant amount of rain. Most areas had over a half an inch to an inch and a half.
You guys said there's a lot of snow too, right?
Out in the mountains.
Oh yeah,
it's beautiful.
It's
gorgeous.
It was like 16 inches of snow on Palomar and 18 out at Laguna.
Wow, I mean,
that's East Coast numbers.
Yeah,
I mean that's a lot of snow.
Now, can we go back to 18% chance of rain or showers for a minute?
Sure.
My understanding is that is forecasting 18% approximately. So 20% of the county will have showers today. So they're going to be scattered. It'll come through here. It'll come through there. Not that there's just only that small chance that anywhere in the county is going to have showers, but approximately 20% of the county will have rain. So this shower that came through La Jolla got there. They're part of the 18%. And
fair enough.
I may not be, but that's my understanding.
I'm just sitting here amazed at how much hand motion went on for that, and no one can see it except us. I mean, there was a lot of pointing
I'm a gesticulator from way back, and I cannot speak without that.
Nor can I.
He's been watching the governor for too long.
I guess.
That wasn't nice.
Those press conferences.
I have missed most of them. Does he move his hands a lot?
Oh, my God. More than a symphony conductor. So anyway, with the rain that we've had, there's no reason to have your sprinklers on at this point in time.
Correct.
And I actually turned mine off before the rain hit. I did the right thing.
We actually had people come in that listened to the radio show and said they came in before the storm to get their fertilizer and put it out.
Yes.
And I was like, very good.
Good.
All three people?
Well, yeah, it was three people. Well, I think you're right.
I think we're going to actually turn the sprinklers on later today or tomorrow just to see where each of the heads are, because I'm about to rototill the entire back area and put a lawn in.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Speaking from experience, that is an excellent idea.
Yeah. You don't want to find out later.
Right. Well, I just had my rototiller tuned up at Western Mower and ready to go.
Yeah. So. I
played
I found,
that game.
I found out the hard way one time. Yeah. Wrapped about 15 feet of irrigation.
I'm not going
to
do that.
I took out the line that went to the pool. The pool water.
The feed line.
Yeah, the feed line. Oh. I took that out once.
Yeah, so
I don't know
some,
if that house ever got. I mean,
so
we moved
benefit
quickly
in this.
Thereafter, so I'm not sure if that ever got fixed. But I don't think I ever.
So that's why those little flags by each head is very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I did. I didn't hit the sprinkler head. I was just moving through the bed and.
And oops.
And caught one of the pipes that was related in there.
I don't have a rototiller story, but it does relate to rain. And I did take home a rain gauge once a few years ago, and I mounted it on a stake, and then I moved as far across the yard so it would be out in the open so it wouldn't get rain off the trees or anything.
So you get a true accurate count.
And I took my hatchet, and I started pounding the stake in the ground, and the ground was so hard. So I pounded harder until water started coming up out of the ground. I was right
and
over
said,
well, a
pressurized. And you said, well, I found a well. I've got.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what's the odds of that happening?
I was right over a pressurized.
Jeb's a millionaire.
Yeah, exactly.
Right over a pressurized pipe. So I, actually, to this day, do not have a rain gauge in my yard. I actually
hit my house with the rototiller once, too. That bounced, I hit something and. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't good with rototillers either,
come to find out. Another thing, I can't drive.
Today, the part of David will be played by Mark Mahady. Way to go. Thank you.
It wasn't funny. It was, well, it looking
probably
back
was
at
funny.
What it was. But
in hindsight.
Yes. The time it wasn't.
Okay, sprinklers off.
Sprinklers off.
Rototillers.
And daylight saving starts tomorrow.
Ooh, yeah.
So.
Saving. There's no S on that.
Saving. Daylight saving. Yeah. What are they going to do? What's the story with that? Are they going to?
I read yesterday that there were eight senators, I believe, bipartisan support across the aisle to maintain daylight saving time.
So just change standard time to daylight saving time.
Don't know if it's going to get any momentum, but I hope it does.
What do we gain by that?
Either way, just keep it one way or the other.
Just do it one way or the other.
Well, we're putting it in the bank, and we're saving it all up for a rainy day. We're going to have lots of sun to draw on.
Mm. That's like cutting a foot off of a blanket and sewing it onto the other end.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes perfect sense given the environment that we're in.
That is the truth. We got to do something. So we're just going to do that. Yeah. That's compromise, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. Today's world.
If you haven't put your spring vegetables in, now is a great time to do it, especially with the rain that we've had.
Yeah.
And, you know, who was I talking to? I was talking to Katie last night. She had called and was telling her that we had the storm come through. And she said, God, March seems late for a storm. And I said, well, and then I started thinking about it. March is when we typically get a ton of rain in San Diego.
Yeah, it's our month.
And snow up in the mountains. And
yeah, it does seem kind of weird, but
every time
we're facing a dire drought, which I'm sure we will next year.
You're not wrong there.
It's March that pulls us out of it.
March.
Well, I think it was March of, was it last year that almost took out the Oroville Dam?
I think that was
maybe 2 years
two
ago,
years
but
ago.
Still,
two
yeah.
years ago?
Yes.
Yeah. You're right. It was two years
we ago. We were following the numbers of acre feet in the reservoirs as they were
being wasted or
Spilling, yes.
Yeah.
We don't need all that water. Let's run it down into the ocean.
Yes.
So.
Harumph.
But the selection of vegetables that we have right now is outstanding.
Yeah. Tomatoes, peppers. I mean.
As much as you're ever going to find. And then you, in San Diego, have the event coming up.
Oh yeah, that's in May, right? The
Burning One.
Yes.
Is that in May?
Saturday of May.
I know it's on the Facebook page.
Yes, it is.
So, but it's a pre-order of peppers.
Peppers, yeah.
Yeah, some of the specialty peppers.
Correct.
So you pre-order them online and pick them up in the San Diego store. We should have some of them up in the Poway store too, but the pre-order online is going to be for San Diego only.
Correct.
So keep your eyes out for that.
Lots of hot peppers or unusual peppers, but
if you're going to plant a vegetable garden and you haven't if you're going to plant a vegetable garden in the ground and you haven't done anything with the soil recently, make sure that you amend the soil and get it ready to go.
Because the secret to a good healthy vegetable garden in the ground is going to be quality soil. David, we've talked about that before. Adding the right amendments.
Well, the healthier and happier your soil is, the healthier and happier your plants will be, and then you will have less that you have to do.
Yeah,
and you'll be less frustrated when you put that tomato plant in our native soil and it dies pretty quickly, or it doesn't necessarily die, but it doesn't produce well. You'll
and most everybody has that experience.
Right.
I mean,
so adding the right amendments and fertilizing, and you'll have some success.
I was going back to the rototiller because you're going to make a lawn, but it'd be a great time to turn an area and add all those amendments while you have the rototiller.
Absolutely.
The freshly tuned rototiller.
Indeed.
True that.
So if you're going to renovate your vegetable beds, organic material, the Grow Power soil conditioner, and probably some Grow Power tomato and vegetable food.
Unless you're 100% organic.
Organic, correct.
Unless you're 100% organic.
Then to Dr. Earth or E.B. Stone.
Or?
Down to Earth.
Down to Earth. Yeah, the new one. Yeah, larger quantities.
And you and I are going to have a little chat about something else, too.
Yeah, and I always recommend adding gypsum to the soil.
Oh, yes, that's a great point.
To reduce blossom end rot.
Yeah, because, again, that's another thing that most people have
almost
experience.
Always.
Yeah.
It usually on tomatoes, sometimes on peppers, and sometimes
squash.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Rather than the gypsum, I use oyster shell, which is 35% calcium.
Okay. Yeah.
And
that'll
work.
That's my method.
Because that's what...
Calcium also.
It's the calcium that's needed.
Exactly.
The other thing when you're growing vegetables to prevent blossom end rot is you need to have consistent soil moisture. If the soil gets too dry, not dry to the point where it's going to... where the plants are going to wilt or going to die, but if it gets too dry, then the calcium falls out of solution and the plants can't pick it up. So you need to keep the soil moisture... Consistent, so that the plants can draw on the calcium when they need it.
Or you could do foliar feeding of calcium.
Well, that's true.
You can
do that as well.
But it's much easier to take care of the problem before it happens.
Yeah, right. When you're incorporating things into the soil already, just get the... the lime or the...
Yeah, the foliar method is something you can use
after...
I said
try
it wrong.
It, try
no,
it.
I'm not going to go any further. But you can use that after the fact when you realize that it's not working and you're getting too much blossom end rot on your tomatoes or peppers.
And frequently, you can have proper soil moisture. You can have proper calcium in the soil, and it's just the first tomato or two on the plant before it gets established that has the blossom end rot The rest of them will come out okay.
Yeah, and it's not a death knell for the tomatoes. No. I mean, even with the blossom end rot, which you don't want to have, but the tomato's still fine. I mean, other than the portion
that's
black. Yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just cut it off and eat it.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to serve it in a restaurant.
Correct.
For the few people that don't know, what is blossom end rot? We're throwing the word out, but what is it? What does it look like?
Well, the bottom of the tomato turns black.
The blossom end, perhaps?
Yeah,
the
blossom end.
There we go.
End, yeah.
The bottom of the tomato turns, right. It starts like a dark brown
and
into black.
And it's very common. Very common. So, I mean, everybody has that issue at some point in their...
It looks like this little scab on my hand forming. It's a darkened patch.
Very
a sunken,
similar.
Darkened patch. And this was
That's attractive. I was going to say.
Well, this relates. This was a gopher trap fail.
Oh.
So, anyway.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, it was a new experimental one that I'm not going to be using as a gopher trap.
For obvious reasons.
Was it one of the ones that JD brought in the other
Yes.
one? Yeah, that was a complicated.
Yeah, some of those things are complicated.
Let's take simple, efficient thing, make it really complicated.
And hurtful.
Yes.
Yeah, because there were little things that you had to flip over. And
it actually sets very easily and... In theory, it works really well because it extends a foot into the tunnel.
Oh, into the tunnel. Okay.
But
if it extends a foot into the tunnel, where's the trigger? The trigger
is up by that foot.
Oh,
and you have
okay.
to hold the trigger to keep it from hitting the side of the tunnel and tripping. And so that's what I was doing. I was trying to hold the trigger way up here, and then the spring came back and hit me in the hand. Because the spring is all the way down at this end. So it doesn't make any sense. But it might. I'm going to try it as a squirrel trap.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because the hole is wider and open. I don't have to hold the trigger. Anyway, so I'll get back to you on the squirrel thing. As a gopher trap, I'm calling it a fail.
Okay.
Me too.
If you'd like to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We're going to take a quick break here on Garden Talk. We'll be back with more right after this. Thank you.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you'd like to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. Let's see, what else have we got going on? Oh, you guys had to do a reshoot of your Master Gardener seminar.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, yes, we did.
There was some sound issues, apparently, from the original location.
Yeah, there was way too much
ambient noise.
Yeah. And so we redid it, and it went well. I liked the first one better, but
I did too. I think we anticipated each other on the second one, as opposed to the first. But
so all of the nice things I said about working with George after the first one, I take them all back. I don't, I'm a solo artist from here on.
Who's
out.
The diva now?
So anyway, if you want to catch David and George's seminar on citrus, right?
Citrus.
The Master Gardeners of San Diego are doing a virtual seminar March 20th through the 28th. There's 13 classes and 3 workshops, all online. And for a $35 registration fee, you can stream all 13 of the classes and all 3 of the workshops 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for
1 week plus a day, I think. Yeah. It's like 8 or 10
that's
days.
That's a substantial deal.
The 20th through the 28th.
Yes.
And you can watch it multiple times if you want. So
if you can't get enough of Dave and George.
The Dave and George show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Put it on a loop.
2 minutes
put it
in
on
that,
the loop.
That's enough. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Next seminar, please.
Yeah.
Looking for the refund button.
Yeah. So if you want more, you can go to mastergardenersd.org/seminar to register. And
they've had a good response, and I was not interested in participating in a virtual event, but it makes a lot of sense.
It actually does.
And then you don't have to choose what class or seminar you're going to go watch because they're all at the same time.
You don't even have to get dressed.
Oh, gosh. Just think about all the people watching Dave
and their pajamas.
George. Yeah. All bundled up with their coffee, perhaps.
Coffee. See.
Speaking of quick anecdote. Speaking of the refund button, one of my nieces is getting married back in Florida at the end of April, so we decided we were going to book our flights yesterday. So went on to American Express Travel and going through, and it just took forever to get the flights booked. It's just two people, me and Melanie. And so I get all the way through everything, and I hit the book flight thing, and it's sitting there, and it's thinking, and it comes up, and it flashes up, said, "We can't confirm your reservation." I'm like, oh, man. So it says to call. So I call, and then there's an extra wait because of weather and people trying to change their flights and all this and that. So it's going to be a while. So I go back and I look at it and go, well, maybe if I just try it again, it'll do it. So I did it again, and it went and came back up, can't confirm your reservation. And then I don't remember why, but for some reason I went and checked my email.
Oh, you got two
trips.
Way to go.
So then I went, I pulled up one of the trips, the second trip, and I hit the cancel reservation, and it comes up, oh, we can't cancel your reservation. Oh, man. So anyway, long story short, I did finally get the cancel button to work and got the
way to go. Do you still have
you might
want
to make sure you actually
going to
get there.
I need to confirm
yeah,
that the first exactly. flight is still there, but it looks like I'm going to be in Florida at the end of April. So So we shall see.
Are you going to take a little side trip south when you're down there?
No, I don't think we're going to the Keys. I think we're going to hit the Gulf Coast and start looking around for a Eastern headquarters.
Oh wow, interesting. So, yeah, good for you.
Yeah, so we'll. Yeah,
we have some
friends that moved back to Dunedin right outside of Tampa, St. Pete, and they absolutely love it over there. They can walk to the Blue Jays spring training stadium. It's 4 blocks from their house.
Very good.
Yeah, pretty cool. So
still think you ought to make the trip down to Key West. It's been too long.
Well, it's a little over a year.
Is it really?
No. Yeah.
I thought it was longer than that.
Yeah, no, it was a year in September.
Okay.
So.
Then you're good.
Yeah. Well, no, I need to go back. this time of the wonderful plants that you'll find in stores this time of the year, and we have a lot of them in Poway. I'm sure you have a pretty good selection of them too. Is pink jasmine.
They're so fragrant.
It's one of the most fragrant plants that you can put in your yard.
Well, they are.
But the flowers are white.
Yeah. And I'm not.
But the backside is pink.
The buds are pink.
The whole. Plant
That's a plant that I just don't like.
I mean, it's
showy for a month or
exactly.
6 weeks it's or
very,
2 months.
The showiness part
it's
of
short-lived.
It is short-lived.
The flowers, yeah. And
But man, if you want
insanely fragrant.
You want something fragrant in your yard, I don't think you can find much that's
agreed
as fragrant as
And
as
mix
that.
It with something else.
True.
So when it's not in bloom, you look at something else.
I mean, it's still green throughout the year.
It grows like a weed. Exactly.
It's like night blooming jasmine. It's incredibly fragrant, but it's a ratty looking plant.
Correct.
So plant it behind something else if you want that fragrance in your yard. What's the other one that's osmanthus. Osmanthus fragrance.
Yeah.
Another incredibly fragrant, nice smelling plant, but the plant.
But boy, is it always ugly.
It seems to burn.
I heard that they don't like our water.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Well, that could be it. And that's why I was really surprised when the first time that I went down to the county building
after they
redid the parks down there. They completely surrounded the county building with osmanthus fragrance right up against the building. The entire perimeter of the building.
Did they look bad?
Yeah.
Well, and they've got salt—the salt air and water there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I was surprised that they did it. So,
an architect.
Oh, I wasn't. Well, I'm never surprised. You're right. You should be surprised, but it's like, why would you do that?
Somebody specced it out. It looked really good on
somebody's
paper.
Brother-in-law was growing them or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, speaking of the county building, though, I do have to admit that the park on the north side of the building. That has much less grass in it. They did a very nice job of landscaping it, although it was there were some interesting choices of what they put in, to say the least.
Well, it's funny because whenever I have to go to the county administration building, I am focused. So I don't look at anything. I just put my head down and I try to get in and get out. I have no idea what they've done.
Watch the little dust.
I did see the osmanthus because I was standing in the line to get in and it's like,
every Tuesday I do the Midway as a docent, and as I drive past, I look, and that park's very popular.
Yeah, it is.
It's
very popular.
Yeah. It sucked up a lot of the parking for the Maritime. Yeah,
yes, sure
yeah.
did.
Sure
yeah.
it did.
So.
But I have to go back to night blooming jasmine because I think it's a good looking plant if you maintain it because it gets mealy bugs and a host of other things.
So
you
have to slugs and snails.
Yeah, you have to take care of it. But if you do it, I think it's a pretty.
It's not.
Pretty,
I have
it's
not
a
bad.
Handsome plant. Yeah.
Long story. But my mom's house has a night blooming jasmine out the window. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in this little area. It's been there for 50 years now,
mm-hmm.
and it's ugly because nobody takes care of it, but.
It's still fragrant,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Insanely fragrant.
Yeah.
You know, right around school time. It's, you know, August and...
June, July is the one that it reminds me of.
Yeah, June, July. I was thinking, I just remember like sitting in the kitchen when it was 160 degrees in the kitchen.
It's kind of warm, Mark.
Yeah. I
want to open a window.
Well, and that,
well
we
that's
did
the
have
problem.
The, that's we had the window open. And then that, again, it does smell... It's kind of intoxicating, but
It can be a bit
much. It can be a bit much.
Like David. It can just be a bit much.
It can take so much.
It starts okay.
It's time for the story. Don't you have a night blooming jasmine story?
We had a big one planted on the backside of our house when we lived on Galveston Street in Bay Park. And I remember my dad, it was hot, and my folks had their bedroom window open, and my dad got so sick of the smell, he got up in the middle of the night, went out, and ripped it out, and threw it in the alley.
Shovel pruned it.
Shovel pruned,
yeah. We weren't smart
And your dad likes
that.
To tell you that know, story, because I talked to him, and he tells that story.
If he had just waited a little bit longer, he wouldn't have been able to smell it.
Well, that's true.
I don't know when that came in, but it...
That's funny or not, but that is funny, yeah.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. That reminded me of something. Oh, the other, you know, another plant that you can put in your yard if you have the space for it, because it gets somewhat bigger, that I think just has one of the most intoxicating nighttime smells is Brugmansias.
Yes.
Angel trumpets. Beautiful tropical tree, huge flowers, blooms like crazy in the summertime, and the fragrance on them is just incredible.
Yep.
Absolutely incredible.
I have another one.
What's that?
Michaelia champaca.
Oh, that's
My parents' neighbor has a big champaca tree in their yard. And at night, walking down my folks' driveway, you can't see the tree, but you can certainly smell the champaca.
I remember when the only place you could get Michaelia champaca from was San Gabriel Nursery.
Correct.
And they were in 24-inch boxes. And they were $2,000.
Yes.
And we had to go get them if we wanted them. They would not put them on their truck, even though they were delivering
that
to us every
truth.
Week.
Yes, that is, yes. Yeah. So, I remember Ken, yeah.
And we just got in some gorgeous 24-inch boxes, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're not $2,000.
No, not anymore. They're like 400 or
Yeah,
like
they're under 500 bucks.
Yeah, they're
and
beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
They really are.
Well, even the 5 gallons when we can get them from
Monrovia. We just got some in this week.
Are beautiful. And then there's two champacas. There's the yellowish one, which creamy. I think is Michelia champaca, and then there's the white one,
right?
Which is Michelia champaca
alba.
And I have heard, although I've never
researched it,
that flower is the base of Chanel perfume.
That's what I've. Yeah, I tell that story, whether it's true
whether
or not.
It's true or not.
I don't know.
That is our historical story,
correct.
And we're sticking to it.
It's a good story.
You know, we actually got in also is, well, the Dalzopa. We got those in from Monrovia, which is another. We used to have a big one. I remember years ago when I first started there, we had a big one in us. We used to put that out front when it was blooming. Mm-hmm. And we'd have, you know, bags of steer out there. And you couldn't smell the steer. With the adult soap, but that thing was so fragrant.
Yeah, it has a really nice fragrance to it. But there again, it's kind of a ratty looking tree.
Yeah,
it's
you're right.
Not the greatest looking thing.
Yeah, true that.
Again. We need to take a quick break. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
To the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We were talking before the break, we were talking about Michelias, and there's another one that is absolutely spectacular. Both the plant itself and the flowers on it. And that's Michelia foggii.
Yeah.
And there's the last time I saw one was at Huntington Botanical Gardens, which if you have never been to Huntington Botanical Gardens, you need to go to Huntington Botanical Gardens.
Yeah, if you're a plant person.
If you're into plants, it is.
Actually planning a trip hopefully later this month.
It is a must-see.
You're going to plan the trip later this month?
No, we're planning a trip for later this month. Gotcha. That's a better way to go.
Okay.
But the Michelia foggii when we were there was in full bloom, just completely white. And the flowers look like small magnolia flowers. They're about maybe 2 or 3 inches across. But it was beautiful. And I think Monrovia used to grow it, but they...
Well, I think Monterey was doing it last or more recently. But
Is the most fragrant? Of the,
what I mean, champaca. I don't know. Dulceopa was pretty. I mean, the one we.
Well, the flowers are so much bigger on Dulceopa.
Yeah,
huh?
Good point. Yeah.
See, the champaca
is small flowered, but it's.
But it just wafts through everything.
Yeah, you're right.
Kind of like the banana shrub, and it
the
turns
banana
out,
shrub. That's another one. The figo. That's a great. Again, the flowers are sort of insignificant, really. Yeah, I mean,
but they're powerfully fragrant.
Yes.
So. You were saying 3 or 4 listeners with the fertilizer?
Correct.
We have 5 because Mary is
very
listening
good.
Too,
okay.
So that's 5. And she just texted me that it's Joy Perfume.
Which I've never heard of.
But if you look up Joy Perfume, it says Michelia champaca, the Joy Perfume tree.
That's good to know.
So
I'm going to have to, I don't know, is Ken still living from San Gabriel?
Oh, I don't know. He's the one that told me.
Well, I believe he did. Yeah. Again, it was 35 years ago. Maybe it wasn't him.
It's ruined our... it's a new story.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a new story. New times call for new stories. So Joy Perfume, the champak tree, which used to be Michelia, and apparently now they want to classify it as a magnolia.
Right.
So it's Magnolia champak.
Everything changes, Dave. Everything changes.
I don't.
Well, that's true.
Not my genes.
Unfortunately, yes.
thank you.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to head over to Pacific Beach where Bruce is waiting. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Morning, guys. How's it going? Good show as always.
Thank you. What can we do for you?
Did you read the article in the UT about the monarchs?
Yes. Yes, we did, as a matter of fact. And that was actually on our show notes to talk about as we work our way through. What did you want to talk about?
Well, I want to know: did you carry any of the 3 varieties that are the native varieties?
When we can get them, yes. Right now they're dormant, but we are expecting some in April.
We have.
We got the pine leaf one,
the monarch magnet one.
Yeah.
Right, pine
we
leaf.
Just got those
Asclepia.
In, and they.
Yeah, we didn't get any.
They didn't get released.
Yet. Yeah.
So you shall have some on Monday.
Okay.
And we have more coming.
That's a Linaria Asclepias.
Is that
Linaria,
what it was?
I believe, right.
And then
Linaria,
Fisticularis, I think, will be in another couple weeks. I think it's supposed to be right around 1st of April or somewhere in that range.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
As
a matter of fact, Moosa Creek Nursery up in Fallbrook, they're probably our biggest grower of Asclepia fascicularis, which is one of the native ones. They have a promotion coming up next month where you order the plants online through their website. And you can get, I think you can get special pricing on them. The plants are delivered. You can order it online.
You can order
the plants online. The plants will be delivered to either of our locations, and you can come in and pick them up. And along with the plants, you get a free moisture meter from Moosa Creek.
While supplies last with the proper
something
code.
You have to do online. Yeah.
So just get the fascicularis. Don't worry about the moisture meter.
Yeah.
But you can order them online, and then when they're ready, they will ship them to whichever of our stores is closest to you.
Yeah.
Okay. So and what was their website again?
It's Moosa Creek. Just do a Google search for Moosa Creek Nursery. It's Moosa.
Okay, Moosa Creek. Okay.
Yeah. If you like native plants, man, you're gonna love their website. I didn't realize there were that many native plants that. Because they grow, I think they grow all of them.
Have you ever gone out and wandered around the backcountry and looked around?
Yeah, but I didn't realize
there's
there were that
lot
many
of native plants.
Yeah.
Do you want to go any further into the
Butterflies, you mean?
Yeah, the butterflies and what is or may or may not be a problem. We were talking about the use of the word may in the article. This may be a problem or may, because they don't know. And some experts don't think that it is a problem if you're in a...
What are you explaining? You're talking about...
Asclepias.
The milkweed. Right, milkweed.
Which ones are... Is it good? Is it bad? Is it...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Great? Is it ugly? So we are in a natural migratory pattern or pathway for the monarch. So it may not be as it was portrayed. How's that?
And the one specific one that they mentioned,
Curavasica, is
the least common of all the milkweeds that are on the market right now.
But in doing some research, if you do have that one and you just choose to cut it down in the fall,
cut it down around Thanksgiving,
any potential for problems with it, right?
Right.
So it was a wonderful article. My mom saved it for me. I went and picked up my copy on Monday and took a look at it. And
still
I guess
confused.
Do more. Yeah, still confused after it. I'm not totally sold on what the problems are, as mentioned, nor what the solutions are. But we have lots of native milkweed.
Yeah, that's
if you
the bottom line.
That
we will have native milkweed
in
both stores probably in April.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
Take care.
Was that a proper minefield tiptoe?
Yeah.
But you know, and we also have the seeds. We often have the milk, the native milkweed, the narrow leaf milkweed seeds. We're out right now, at least in Poway.
You know, I actually don't know if we have them in Point Loma either. I should know that.
We had them
from
Botanical Interest had them.
Right.
Okay.
So, but they've been going, and people coming in daily for milkweed seeds and/or plants.
You know, the previously mentioned Mary has Asclepias, the orange flowering tuberosa that we have,
right,
mm-hmm.
In her garden, and there are always monarchs flying around that garden, and so I find it hard to believe that it is the great evil.
Agreed.
So, all right, I'll not beat the horse anymore. We good?
Well,
oh yeah.
Since we're talking about butterflies, and kind of a side note on butterflies. Back in Key West, they have a butterfly conservatory, which it's one of the greatest. It's one of the greatest things in Key West. We go every time we are there. We go and check it out. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's in a big greenhouse that's just incredibly landscaped with all these tropical plants and stuff blooming all over the place. And there's butterfly feeders all over. And there's butterflies everywhere as you walk through. But none of the plants are eaten because butterflies will not lay eggs on plants that are not host plants. So they go and feed throughout the garden, but they don't lay eggs on anything, so their larvae don't eat anything.
Oh.
Which takes us to a very good point, is making sure there's always nectar plants in your garden. So when butterflies are present, they can feed is a great thing, which... There's a lot of really good nectar plants almost year-round that you can have here.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of butterfly garden plants, and we typically have tables of them.
Identified as such.
And also the plants that the butterflies will go after will typically attract hummingbirds as well. So.
And bees.
And bees. And pollinators, yes.
All the pollinators.
Yeah. And I completely forgot what I was going to talk about.
Let's talk about pollen just for a moment. The nectar plants, you know, the pentas. I always remember going to the animal preserve up in North County called now?
Safari Park.
Do they still have their butterfly exhibit annually in there? Or no?
I don't know if they do.
But
or not.
There was always pentas.
Pentas. Yeah,
they always had pentas available for the
pretty
for
plant
the butterflies.
Too.
Yes. And
lots of colors of flowers and
and tons of blooms on them and. Lantana, buddleia.
Yep.
There's so many, the butterfly bush.
There's so many
different plants that they enjoy that will attract them and keep them happy.
You know what I remember about that more than anything else? Is the leaf cutter ants.
You could
see them walking up those tree roots carrying a big chunk of leaf in their mandibles as they were walking. That's out of all the cool stuff that was in that
building, butterfly you saw.
That was the neatest thing
that really
I
was.
Remember.
You're absolutely correct.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We were talking about milkweed and monarch butterflies before we went into the break, and wanted to bring up a little bit more information about that particular plant.
Well, sometimes people are concerned because when they come in, they see aphids on the milkweeds and the plants, and we generally try and keep plants clean of bugs.
We'll wash them some, why are the aphids on there?
But I use that as a tool when people are concerned that are your plants sprayed because they're raising monarchs and they don't want to have them ingest any kind of pesticide. And I say, well, they're clearly not sprayed because they're covered in aphids.
And that's we talk to all of our growers and they all assure us that they don't treat them.
Correct. And I mean, we sell thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And if any of them were spraying them, we wouldn't be buying them from them.
And you wouldn't see bugs and aphids and other things on the plants. That's a really good way to assure yourself that they haven't been treated with anything that's going to hurt your caterpillars.
Correct.
But there are naturally occurring things that will wipe out caterpillars. There's the technid fly.
The fly that lays the egg in the larva as it's eating.
And a lot of people use BT, Bacillus thuringiensis, the biological control for caterpillars, in their yards. And that product is great for killing caterpillars.
Right.
It only bothers caterpillars, but it doesn't know the difference between.
Exactly.
Are you a good caterpillar or a bad caterpillar?
Correct.
Well, spinosad will do the same thing.
Exactly. Correct. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The popularity of spinosad has gotten.
Yeah. It's
very big.
Everybody has it now, I think. Yeah,
over the past few years,
correct.
Because it is a good organic control for chewing type
correct.
Insects.
People use it on their tomatoes or basil or whatever, and if it gets on your
asclepias or drifts,
it can be problematic.
Right. Yes.
Yep.
And it lasts a long time too, because
it is translaminar. Thank you, Mr. Anderson, for teeing that up for me.
Oh, yeah.
Teed that up nicely.
Speaking of which, when we were doing the Master Gardener seminar, guess who said translaminar?
George?
Yeah.
Wow.
He used it before you did?
He teed it up for me. I had to use it. It was a softball.
He was teeing it up for himself.
No,
yes,
he wasn't.
I certainly was.
No,
and then
wasn't.
George took it, and then he said it again.
Yeah.
Which might be why I don't want to do seminars with him anymore.
I can't work. He threw his hands up and said, I can't work like this.
That's funny.
The roses right now look spectacular.
Amazing.
But
I had a couple customers coming in last week. It's like, oh, man, these roses look better than, I mean, I go, travel to the nursery or travel nurseries looking for plants. And your roses look much better than most other people's roses.
They do look
great.
And many of them are blooming.
You know, I think we have this conversation every spring.
We
say they
do.
Look better than they've ever looked before.
It's funny.
They look fantastic.
Well, Nanny always took care of them. This is our first year without Nanny.
No,
doing. But, I mean, and again, I don't know that I think, you know, Nanny's a top shelf. Jose's done a fantastic job this year filling in. I don't think he's quite up to Nanny's. I'm not knocking him. I love him, but
don't
I think
say,
Nanny.
Don't say
I
that.
Mean,
don't say it.
Well,
okay.
But our roses look really, really good.
Good.
If you haven't fed your roses yet, now would be an excellent time to feed them, especially if we're going to be in any kind of a rain cycle.
Correct.
And they are disappearing quickly.
Yeah, we're almost out of tree roses in Poway. You said you're going to send some.
Yeah, we'll send some. We have some. I mean, not you know.
But also this time of the year, keep an eye out for mildew.
That's always an issue in Point Loma.
Rust.
I guess probably everywhere, but in Point Loma for sure
aphids. Mm-hmm. A little later in the year, you start watching out for rose slug.
Especially
rose
slug.
That's coming very soon.
Yeah, and as soon as you see it, which is basically some small holes in the foliage, get on it quickly because otherwise it'll decimate the plants. It won't kill them, but they will look terrible. And because
it's a sawfly larva and not a caterpillar, BT will not control it. So one of the contact sprays, any one of the contact sprays.
Even insecticidal soap is listed in the IPM as a method to treat
for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the 3-in-1, the spray, as long as I'm grabbing the 3-in-1 and not the lawn weed killer.
Weed be gone.
Yeah.
Lawn killer.
Yeah, the lawn weed killer, which doesn't work that well.
Yeah, bottles
of
the same.
I'll bet you had no more bugs on there. You know, you have no leaves. The bugs aren't going to be there.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
So you did control it.
It's one way to look at it.
Just
always look on the bright side of life.
Back of
Mr. Sunshine.
Hey, Mark, there is a perfume tree that is Chanel number 5. So,
okay.
But it wasn't what we were thinking. And this was our sixth listener, Capriche.
Growing exponentially today.
Kanaga Odorata. Odorata.
I've never heard of that one. Okay.
Nor have I, but it's from the Philippines, Malaysia, Pacific Islands.
And I'm guessing it doesn't grow here.
So, probably not.
So we misspoke, and when we said Chanel number 5, we meant Joy. They almost sound the same.
It's a perfume. So perfumes are made out of it.
Yes.
I've heard of Joy's dish soap, but I've never heard of, again,
I hadn't
it doesn't
either,
matter.
But we're probably not the target audience for Joy.
No. Well, the premise is still the same.
Correct. It is.
Correct. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're insanely fragrant. Bottom line end
of
the story.
And they make a perfume.
And they make a perfume. So you were correct.
Yeah.
We just went too far.
Exactly.
Yes.
Which we normally do. So perfect. And keeping in step. Can I tell you a quick water story?
Sure.
This morning, I had to water my tomato and pepper starts that I have at home.
How did they get rain? Oh.
Because it was raining, I didn't want them to be beaten by the cold, wet rain and maybe hail, so I put them under the roof, and last night I put them in the garage so that they would be warm, so I brought them outside and watered them this morning.
Well,
with
rainwater
that you had stored.
There is something to be said.
I mean, there was
that.
A reason for it. It wasn't just
that's
my normal
not a, that's not a bad
lack
thing.
Of thought. Yeah. This required intense thought.
Was it with rainwater you stored?
No, it wasn't. Well,
we could
came out
fib
of the hose,
about it if you
and
want.
And so if you
want
to go, yes, it was through stored rainwater. It came through the hose, but I assure you it was stored rainwater.
Okay.
Except for the
Colorado,
small percentage that's
Colorado desaled. River, or the water from Colorado River.
Yeah, well, what is the where did that come
snow.
From? Snow. Which came from?
Snow.
Oh, okay, not rain.
Exactly.
Okay, it was part of the hydrologic cycle. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right.
I accept.
Some of the other things that you'll find in the store right now that look really nice, wisterias are just starting to come out. We're still waiting on seed potatoes. It's 2 weeks.
And if you've been listening for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the current reason is. The last reason was because of the weather.
The cold and shipping.
Because they were coming from New Mexico. I'm not sure what the current one is.
Well, I think it's still cold back there.
Yeah, part of it had to do with certification. It takes a long time to get the certification that says they're certified organic. If we didn't need or have or want certified organic, then we would have maybe had them already. But Now we're waiting, and we're waiting for certified. But we were complaining about it amongst ourselves last year that the same thing happened.
And they still grow.
And I know I planted mine, and I was successful for the first time with my potatoes. So it wasn't a big deal.
And we got them late, and we put them in late.
And they still worked, and they grew, and they were harvestable. Yeah. You remember the me mixing up my concoction? We talk about the label being the law, totally separate subject, and why to follow the rules on the label of a product. Do you remember me telling you about my dormant spray, just mixing up a bunch of stuff and not measuring it? Well, it shut down all of the roses that I sprayed. I killed all the tips, but now they're getting ready. They've come back. George was showing me a rose of his that's blooming from that same kind of crop. I have a plant that's the same, and it was coming out nicely. And all of that original foliage has died back.
But
there's all new growth coming up, and it's going to be blooming soon. It's going to only set me back 6 weeks or so. So just a quick reminder that
the label is the law. Follow directions.
There's a good reason for it. Exactly. And be careful of mixing up home remedies.
There you go.
How's that?
Have a great weekend, everybody. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back next week with another hour.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.